Well, good morning to everyone. I hope you're doing well today. If I didn't get a chance to see you last weekend, Happy New Year and all the best to you and your family in 2014. Well, I do want to thank Tiana for coming up here and sharing her journey in 2013. It's great to see how God worked in your life in 2013, and confident God will continue to in 2014 as well. You know, last week we talked about this year, the theme being knowing God and making Him known. And how important it is for us to have the right view of who God is, as well to make Him known to our families, to our friends, in the community, so that we know God and we make Him known. I know that's God's plan for each and every one of us, that we can know Him. We can know Him personally, intimately, and also that we make Him known wherever we go. You know, what is your concept of God? You know, how do you picture God? You know, there's a story about a kindergarten teacher was observing her classroom of children while they drew pictures. Occasionally, she would walk around the room to see each child's work. "What are you drawing?" she asked one little girl who was working so diligently at her desk. The girl replied, "I'm drawing God." The teacher paused and said, "But no one knows what God looks like." And the little girl replied, "They will in a minute." Or the little girl, and of course she had her own view as to what God looked like. And she started, of course, drawing what God looked like. You know, that's what I want us to think about here today, is how do you picture God? You know, whatever your picture or your view of God, it needs to be consistent with the God we read about in the Scriptures. Because so many times we can have an impaired view of who God is. We can have an inconsistent view of who God is. But what's important is that we have the correct view of who God is according to what we see in the Scriptures. The title of today's lesson is "How Great Is Our God?" Because we worship a great, powerful, amazing God who is worthy of our respect, our admiration, worthy of our hearts. And as we continue our time here together, as we talk about how great is our God, let's go to our Father in prayer. Let's pray. Father, truly you are an amazing God. Father, we think about how you created the universe. Father, how you spoke it into existence. Father, we think about how you created each and every one of us. And Father, in comparison to you, Father, we fall so short. But Father, it is so amazing that our Creator wants a personal relationship with each and every one of us. Father, that is so amazing to even think about. That Father, you love us so much and you want a relationship with us. Father, as we continue to learn about you today and throughout 2014, Father, help us to put off all misconceptions of who you are. And allow us, God, to be transformed by your word. That our view of you would be transformed, Father, by the Scriptures. So that, Father, as we see you for who you really are, God, our hearts and our lives can be transformed. And that God will live each and every day of our lives with power, with strength that comes only from you. Father, thank you so much that we're able to be here this morning. Father, I pray as we study your word, I pray that your spirit can really work through me. Father, I pray that each and every one of our hearts, Father, will be challenged, inspired, Father, to be able to draw closer to you. Father, thank you. We ask that you continue to bless our time, Father, as we gather together to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. Now we are going to spend the most of our time, if not all, looking at Isaiah chapter 40. As we talk about how great is our God, Isaiah chapter 40, we see some amazing things about God. Isaiah chapter 40, we'll begin reading in verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountain on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor is animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? As for an idol, a craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold, and fashions silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the universe, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than he blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and his mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will not walk and not be faint. Yeah, there are so many things when we read Isaiah 40 that describe how amazing and how great is our God. You know, the people of Israel were taken into captivity. People were tired and wanted to go back home. Rather than to tell them to do this or to do that, Isaiah points them to God. And Isaiah confronts them by showing them the incomparable greatness of God. And we see just how incomparable God is when we read this scripture. In verse 18 it says, with whom then will you compare God? To what image will you compare him to? In verse 25 it says, to whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One. You know, Isaiah describes how powerful God is. And God says, who is my equal? To whom will we compare God? That there is no other, no one like the creator of the universe, no one greater than our God in heaven. And there's no person or thing that could be compared to God, because he's incomparable. You know, but we try and attempt to compare God to people, and compare God to things. We try to describe God as best we can with our limited knowledge and our limited language. But we are limited in our understanding of God. We may think He's a little stronger. We might think He's a little bigger, a little better, a little wiser than we are. And we think His power is slightly more powerful at times than the most powerful thing that we can imagine. Because at times we think of God in human terms, and we compare God to human things or objects because we can't conceive anything or anyone greater. You know, there are two things I want to talk about here this morning about how great is our God. And number one, God is big. God is big. And it's important for us to understand that God is big because the size of our God will determine the size of our dreams. If we have a small God, we're going to have small dreams for what we're going to accomplish. But when we see God for who He really is, what we can accomplish in our life is endless. Because God is big. You know, it says that measured the waters in the hollow of His hand. Think about that. Measured the waters in the hollow of His hand. The breadth of His hand marked off the heavens. That God holds the world in His hand. The dust of the earth in a basket. Weighs the mountains on the scales. The nations are like a drop in a bucket. You think about the nations like a drop in a bucket. So for God, it's like, oh, China, drop in a bucket. God is bigger, much bigger than we can even imagine. So He sits enthroned above the circle of the universe, the circle of the earth. And its people are like grasshoppers. You know, all of us at one time or another have seen how small a grasshopper is. And we are compared to grasshoppers in the face of the greatness of God. Because of His great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. That God is the creator of the ends of the earth. God is bigger than anyone or anything that we can imagine. You know, there's a story, you don't need to turn there, but in Numbers chapter 13, you can read the story about the spies who went to scout out the promised land. And the spies came back with a bad report. And they went in and said, you know what? And it says in verse 32, they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they explored. And it said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people there are of great size. And it said, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. So when the spies went to scout out the land, you know, they thought, man, there's no way. These guys are of great size. And there's no way we can be victorious. But then you see the attitude of Joshua and Caleb. They said, don't be afraid, because the Lord is with us. You know, for these spies, God was too small. And what happened? They gave into fear. They gave into doubt. But when Joshua and Caleb, they had a correct view of God. And they were filled with confidence and knew that the Lord would give them victory. Because God was bigger than these giants that lived in that land. You know, we need to have the correct view of who God is. That God is big. You know, what can happen over time as Christians, as we get older as Christians, our view of God should get bigger. As we're growing as a Christian, growing in our knowledge of God, our view of God should get bigger. Not that God grows, but our view of God grows. But what can happen over time is our view of God can become impaired over time. And things like failure, disappointment, sin, challenges can affect how we view God. And each of these different things chisel away at the image of God that we have until God becomes small in our minds. And then we go around worshiping a small God, but not the God that we see in the scriptures. And then we can place limits on God. We can get cynical. We can get faithless and place limits on a limitless God as to what he can accomplish in our lives. You know, we need to have the correct view that God is big. And there is no other. You know, there was a story. It says that a few years ago, a boy who attended our junior high school group wanted to ride on the Goodyear blimp. The Spirit of America was parked right off the 405 freeway, not far from our church, and every Sunday on his way to church, it would catch Eric's eye. So one day he asked his mom, Pat, who is a school teacher, if he could ride the Goodyear blimp. His mom told him, "No, Eric, you can't ride the Goodyear blimp. It's not like a ride at Disneyland. You have to know someone to ride the blimp. And we don't know anyone. So you might as well forget it, Eric, because you're never going to ride it." Eric's mom effectively slammed the door shut on her son's dreams. But Eric was not dissuaded. He told his mom, "I'm going to pray about it." About a week later, one of Pat's students had to leave class early for what she assumed was a doctor's appointment. When the mom showed up to take her son out of class, Pat asked why he had to leave. The mom replied, "Today is a special day because Tristan is going for a ride on the Goodyear blimp." As you can imagine, Pat's jaw hit the floor. It turned out that Tristan's grandfather knew someone at Goodyear who had arranged for people to ride the blimp. When the boy's mother saw Pat's jaw drop, she asked if something was wrong. So Pat told her about Eric's prayer, and 10 days later, Eric and his mom were soaring through the skies of Southern California on the Goodyear blimp. Coincidence, you say? No way. Eric and his mom got the ride of their lives because of his childlike faith in a great big God. In his prayer for the church of Ephesus, the Apostle Paul described what Eric knew long ago. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Paul said that God is so big, he is able to do way more than we ask him to do. And not only that, God is so big, he is able to do way more than we ask or imagine. Do you believe that? Eric did. The difference between a blimp rider and the rest of us who will only see the Spirit of America in the skies above us is a childlike faith in a big God with unlimited power. You know, what a story about a child's faith. A child's faith in a great, big God. You know, so many times we could spend so much time analyzing as opposed to just believing that God is a big God. And God can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. You know, God is big, but also God is strong, number two. That God is strong. It says God's great power and his mighty strength. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. And it says God does not grow tired or weary. You know, even the strongest people get tired at times, but God's power in strength, it never diminishes. And God is never too tired or busy to help us. That God is always there wanting to work on our behalf. He's never too busy. That when we go to sleep, God is listening to the prayers of those who are praying late at night. That God does not grow tired or weary. That He gives strength to the weak. That when we're feeling tired, when we're feeling weak, when life is pressing in on us, that we can call and rely on God. And since God is strong, we can put our hope and trust in a strong God. We can put our hope in God and expect that what He promises, He will give us. And He will help us rise above whatever difficult situation that we face in our life. That we can trust Him to know that He has our best interest in mind. And that He, because He's strong, is able to work accordingly. You know, when you think about God being a God who's big, a God who is strong, you know, as Christians, we should not walk around living lives filled with fear. We should not walk around living lives filled with fear of man, whether it be at work, whether it be at school, whether it be in our community, because we serve a big and a strong God. Nor should we remain weak for long periods of time. I mean, you ever have friends growing up who they were just big and strong? You know, I had friends who were big and strong, and I was fortunate when I was a teenager that I had these friends who played on the football team, that they loved being around me, and of course, I loved being around them. And so I was very tall, I was very small and skinny. And my friends were big, they worked out in the gym, they played football. And so I was fortunate that, you know what, I hung out with them, we did lots of things together, and so whenever I was in trouble, they were there to help me out. And there were times when, you know, some big guys, I got into confrontation with some big guys, and I'd be with my big friends, and they'd be like, you know, some guys would be, you know, kind of saying these different things. I'd be like, yeah, if it wasn't for my big friends, you know what I'd do? My big friends were there to kind of help me out at times. But when you got your big friends around you, you feel very confident. Sometimes even delusional. But you feel confident. Feel like, hey, you know what? I can go and conquer anything with my big friends with me. You know, we should have the kind of right attitude, of course, with God. We shouldn't walk around weak or insecure. We should be feeling confident and strong because we worship a strong and powerful God. That strength and character characterize the followers of God when we read about them in the scriptures. When people put their faith in God, their lives were shaped, their lives were transformed, and they conquered and did amazing things. And you think about, because God is big and strong, as a result, we can run and not grow weary. We can walk and not be faint. And that we can soar on wings like eagles. How have you ever seen an eagle soaring? But there's a story I want to read. It says, a farmer was walking one day and he found an eagle egg. He took it to the hen house and placed it under a setting hen who had several eggs under her. In time, all the eggs hatched. Out of the shell of the eagle came, to her way of thinking, the oddest looking chicken she had ever seen, with the oddest voice she had ever heard. When the other chicks chirped, this one screeched. When the mother hen clucked, all but this one would come running. There simply seemed to be no understanding between them. They spoke two different languages. So because he was odd, all the others picked and pecked at him. Of course he was odd. He was an eagle who was trying to live the chicken life. One day, while he was in the barnyard, a huge shadow passed over him. It was Father Eagle soaring high above. Father Eagle looked down and saw the little eaglet. Seeing it was one of his own kind, Father Eagle swooped down, giving a loud screech. The young eaglet looked up. Father Eagle said to the eaglet, "What are you doing down there? You're not a chicken. You're an eagle. Eagles aren't made for barnyard living. The heavens are your domain. Come up here." Now the little fellow wondered what to do. Up to now, the barnyard had been home to him. But he really hadn't been happy there. He just didn't seem to fit in with barnyard living. All of a sudden, the truth of who he was hit him. He discovered his true identity. Father Eagle had given it to him. He wasn't a chicken. He was an eagle. Down deep inside him, he felt the urge to respond to the Father Eagle. But when he tried, he couldn't seem to get off the ground. Father Eagle screeched again, "Just make a jump and flap your wings. You can fly if you try." The little eaglet made a feeble jump, flapped his wings, and landed on the top of the barnyard fence post. Father Eagle screeched again, "Child, jump higher. Try again. Make the jump and I'll sweep under you and carry you on my wings." The little eaglet did what his father asked him to do, and Father Eagle did what he said he would do. A mighty jump of faith, and the little eaglet was riding on the Father Eagle's wings on his first solo flight into the heavenly realm. You know, you think about this story about this eagle who thought he was a chicken. You know, it is kind of glad that it says that we can soar on wings like eagles, as opposed to comparing us to a chicken to identify us. But it says here that we can soar on wings like eagles. But when we think about this story about this chicken, for those of you who have been around a barn, who have seen chickens, you know, chickens are crowd followers. You know, if you ever see a chicken, chickens are crowd followers. If a chicken sees a bunch of chickens running across the chicken yard, he will take off after them. It doesn't matter that he doesn't know where they're going or why they are going there. He follows along because he doesn't want to miss out on what the majority are doing. Also, chickens, they are just naturally, they squabble and they fight over things in the chicken yard. You know, if they find one little juicy bug to eat, they all want it. They will chase each other all over the chicken yard, trying to take it away from each other. They can walk all day around a bug. If a bug is just off to itself, they can walk by it, not paying attention to it. But the moment that one other chicken decides they want it, all of them decide to chase it. And chickens, they have no interest in big things. They are content to live in the chicken yard, walking around with their eyes on the ground, scratching the dirt, looking for something to eat. And most of them will never try to fly, because they're earthbound birds. As you can see, living the life of a chicken can never compare to the life of an eagle. Because the life of a chicken is so limited. It's so confining. It's also very embarrassing. But it's so predictable. It's so boring. However, the eagle, that's another story. When we hear the word eagle, our minds envision an eagle soaring in the atmosphere, effortlessly riding the wind currents high above the earth. You think about how the eagle is the king of their domain. You think about a powerful bird. eagle swoops down to the earth with tremendous speed, sharp, strong wings, and snatches up its meal and then soars back up to feast. You know, there's very something special about the eagle. And for centuries it has been recognized by nations, kingdoms, and empires as the king of the birds. Its image has been reproduced on coins, seals, emblems, and even flags. There's even a football team called the Philadelphia Eagles, not the Philadelphia Chickens. Can you imagine a team having a name called the Chickens? You're setting yourself up to be defeated and also laughed at. And sorry if your team growing up at your school, if that was your kind of your mascot or anything like that. But it's very different, a chicken and an eagle. But my point is that we too were made to experience something great in our lives. To spread our wings of faith and to ride the heavenly winds. It is God's plan for us to soar to spiritual levels that we could not soar any other way. My question to this morning is, are we soaring like the eagle? Because we are called to soar on wings like eagles. But sometimes we can be very content to live the chicken life, confined to the barnyard limitation. You think about the barnyard limitation. That is an attitude of a believer, or any mindset, any lifestyle that restricts us from being or accomplishing all that God has planned for us to be. Our barnyard today may be our comfort zone. We like to live in because it makes no demands of us. It doesn't challenge us. So therefore we can settle for living in the barnyard. God challenges us to spread our wings of faith and to come higher. To come out of our comfort zone. And we can respond and sometimes get as high as the barnyard post and settle. And then no more. Yet our Father's asking us to try again and jump one more time. Because He wants us to make another jump of faith so that we can continue to soar high in our spiritual lives. You know, how big is our God this morning? You know, how big is God to you? And are your dreams, whatever dreams you have for your life, whether it be this year, for the next 5 years, 10 years, are they consistent with how big your God is? If your God is big, you should have big dreams in this life. But also God is strong. That we can put our confidence in God and allow God to work in our lives and strengthen us and help us to accomplish great things in our lives. And let's not limit God in our own understanding of Him. But let us view God for as we see Him in the Scriptures. And have big dreams. And know that God is strong and allow Him to work in our lives to accomplish great things. For us to trust Him, to obey Him, and allow Him to transform our lives so that we can soar on wings like eagles. You know, my challenge for each and one of us, whether we're a disciple, whether we're new in the faith, whether we're just learning more about God, the challenge is for you to get to know God, to learn more about God, to know more about God, and allow God to transform your life and to make Him known to those around you. You know, let's have big dreams, accomplish great things, because we worship an amazing God. That our God is great. God is big. God is strong. Let's live our lives for God. Amen?